Mother's Day. It is the week of Mother's Day, all you wacky mothers. And I believe that was the old music. Listen, you guys. We're still making the move. This is me being low tech and not knowing how to get the files to the right people. So, my apologies. We've got a lot of it. I feel bad. I ask people, hey, let's interact. And they provide wonderful music. And I'm like, oh, we're going to use that. And then like, oh, I'm going to listen this week. And then it's the old music again. I swear, I got you. I will figure it out this week. I can do this. So anyway, it's Mother's Day, you wacky mothers. How you doing over there, Gimlet?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You have a good Mother's Day? Did you get crazy? Did you get a little mimosa going in your blood?
No, oddly enough. My husband had to travel for business, so he left this morning and had plans to go have a late lunch with the parents and my daughter, and my son had to work. And
nice.
Ended up driving an hour and 15 minutes to the restaurant.
Oh, boy.
Way up north. And I get to the restaurant, and at the bottom of the menu, it says, no alcoholic beverages on Sunday. Sorry for any inconvenience. I'm like, on Mother's Day?
Yeah, so next thing you hear is tires squealing.
Yeah, right?
And,
I'm like,
the whole gypsy clan peels out.
I looked at my daughter. I'm like, I don't think Poppy's going to stay.
That's a toughie. That's a tough one.
But we did. We did.
What was the cuisine? I want to know. What did you eat?
I had scallops and a red pepper sauce with some veggies and a salad and a little homemade peach cobbler for dessert. So that was nice.
That sounds delightful.
Yep. And then I came home and took a nap.
That sounds delightful. Yes. That sounds delightful. I needed one of those today. I'm a low energy Loftus party guy today.
Wow. What's up?
Yeah. Well, my plan, I've been getting up very early. The wife was out of town. She was in Columbus, Ohio, for some family stuff. So I've been kind of Mr. Mom for the past couple weeks, and that's cool. I dig it, you know. But there's like carpool involved. And then I got thrown for a loop on Friday because Thursday night I got called up to the big leagues on Fox News.
Yeah, Fox and Friends during the week. Woohoo!
It was nice. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. So Friday I had all arranged. And then Thursday night the people at Fox were like, yeah, I did a couple of the Sunday Fox and Friends Sunday shows, and I guess those went well enough. They're like, hey, let's have him on a Friday. Let's close the week out with Michael Loftus from the Loftus Party. So in order to be live for the East Coast, I needed to be in a car headed towards the Fox studios in LA at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Which means, and you're going to be on camera and stuff. So that meant like I got up at like 2:15, and so I tried to go to bed. So I had very little sleep on Friday. Very little sleep. Did Fox? God bless them. God bless them. They had a makeup artist there, and that lady, she gets 5 gold stars for getting rid of the Samsonite luggage underneath my eyeballs. I was dragging ass. So did that. That went very well. Lots of stuff going on there. And then I plan to get in a lot of sleep on Saturday. I'm like, ooh, I'll sleep in on Saturday. My kid, my oldest, is doing like these. They have you take these tests before the PSATs. He's not.
Right.
He doesn't graduate for a while, but he's doing these pre-tests to see how he does. And of course, that was at the crack of dawn.
On a Saturday?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes. Because it's like extra blah, blah, blah. So Saturday got thrown to the wind. So the wife gets home last night. There's a story in there. We'll circle back around to the wife gets home last night. So this morning I'm going to sleep in. I know it's Mother's Day, but I don't give a crap. I'm sleeping in. Now, what the wife will sometimes do, she'll watch stuff on the YouTube in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have her headphones plugged all the way in.
Oh.
So the sound was blaring. So I woke up to some, she's watching some Donald Trump speech, but like, you don't want to wake up that way. You don't want to wake up.
No.
You don't. And then I tell you what, I'm one of those people, Gypsy. Once the squirrel is on the little wheel in my brain, mm-hmm. I'm not going back down. It's like, oh, then I got to do this. I got to do that. So I am sleep deprived. It was the craziest, it wasn't the craziest, but it was a weird, weird weekend. It was a weird, weird, like, last 3 days.
Like, all last week, for some reason, my internal alarm decided 5 a.m. was the right time to get up.
That's awesome, though. What time are you going to bed?
I wasn't falling asleep some nights till 11:30 or so, but no, I am Ooh. Not a morning person. Not at all.
Here's what I found out. I am much better, and this is like the worst radio ever, but I don't care. This is like a peek behind the curtain, you guys. That's what this is. This is just some real crap going on in our lives. I'm way better. If I get 4 hours of sleep, I'm good. If I get five, I'm toast. Oh, I heard da-da-da.
Yeah, that's actually that? My phone telling me to go to bed.
That's hilarious.
Now, I'm a 7 to 8 hour kind of girl, so.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm saying in a doomsday scenario. Doomsday scenario. But it's all sleep cycle stuff. So anyway, Fox News went very well.
You made Steve Ducey laugh.
That's good. You know what? Here, I'll tell you this about Steve Ducey. Here's what I liked about him. When I'm sitting there in the little chair all by my lonesome in the middle of the conservative bunker in Santa Monica.
Right.
Steve Ducey came on during the commercial break. That guy is nice enough. This is a smart move on his part, and it's a very nice thing. He comes in. I can hear him through the earpiece, and he's like going, hey, how's it going? Thanks for getting up. So we're going to be talking about this. He kind of does like a little pre-interview thing. It takes about 30 seconds, and I think it made all the difference. It was a wonderful.
That's actually a good idea because you can't see when you're in that studio, right? There's no visual?
No.
Yeah, so.
So it was crazy. Here's the nice thing. Fox and Friends tweeted out my appearance, mm-hmm. and that was it. It kind of blew up on Twitter. Then Fox News tweeted it out.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like one of those little 30-second clips. It was like the whole two and a half minutes.
That was very nice of them.
Very nice.
It was like the third most popular thing they did. I was right behind President Trump was number one. Diamond and Silk coming in at number two, and I was nipping at their heels at number three.
Nice.
So that is fantastic, and I stand by every word that I said. A lot of I'm pulling a Michelle Wolf over here. I stand by every word I said. They're bullies. Oh my God! I didn't respond to anybody. They put out the wrong. They announced that it would be the Loftus Party guy would be there, and they used that Twitter handle for like a moment. Then they switched it over to my personal account. But boy, you should see that'd be fun to do. We should do that. I should just scroll through.
Like Fox and Friends. The Fox and Friends accounts used at the Loftus Party. Fox News used at Mike Loftus.
Yeah. So much hatred. Just so
oh
much.
Oh my God!
Just
it was
the
so
level
funny.
Of attacks were and, just like it's especially funny when you're saying that you guys are bullies. You guys are bullies, and then they respond by bullying you.
Well, even better, you're like sitting there laughing about it, right?
Yes.
Like you're having a good time with the whole concept, and you're laughing about it. And they're like, "Look at the snowflake!" I'm like, "Are you serious?"
Snowflake, he's crying.
Look, no, he was laughing.
And all the snowflake emojis and the crying emoji. Oh, yeah. And then this is the other one. This is where I almost got involved. A couple people tweeted the when Trump does his shaky arms, nervous guy.
Right.
They keep that one alive. Like he was making fun of that disabled reporter.
Right.
I will say it again and again and again. There's so many clips of him doing that bit in so many different interviews. Just Google it, you guys, and you can see that's a character. That's a bit. Our president has bits, and one of his bits is nervous, shaky guy. And it's funny every time. I think the first time he did it, he was talking about how much he spent on the wedding. When he and Melania got married, and anyway, it's a funny bit. So there's lots going on in the news. We're gonna catch up on that. Mm-hmm. I want, and there we'll keep going with the personal stuff.
Okay.
I'm all in favor of that. I'm in that weird kind of mood. I'm not in attack mode today. I'm more reactive. Ooh, I'll tell this story real quick.
Okay.
This is good radio. And this is the power. And you know what? This is what they call a teachable moment. This is why the Loftus Party we're involved in pop culture as well as politics. If your world gets so small that it's just politics, you're in deep trouble because there are larger forces at work. Okay, so I did Fox News. It went very, very well. I got a bunch of retweets. So that's the baseline for this. My wife's coming back from Columbus. Now there's a band from Columbus, Ohio, called 21 Pilots, and their music is very, very hard to categorize. It's funk, it's alternative, it's rock and roll, it's hip hop. They're very eclectic. You probably heard a big song of theirs in the Suicide Squad soundtrack. They were the best new artist, I think, last year at the Grammys. Really
Didn't you
good
channel
kid.
them in a YouTube video?
I sure did.
Yep.
They did an awesome cover of Elvis's Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I did that. Actually, I did that last time I was in Vegas, as a matter of fact. I recorded that live
Yep.
in Vegas. So my wife is on the plane. She used a boatload of miles and got a very good seat. And she's sitting behind this kid, and they're watching the same movie. It's well, she doesn't say a word, but she thinks she recognizes him. Can't be sure. Thinks she can't be sure. So when they finally land, she goes over to him. And granted, we live in Los Angeles, and you see celebrities all the time, and there's a way to approach them. And she kind of sidles up to him, and she goes like, "Josh." Because that's the drummer from 21 Pilots. There's only two dudes in the band, right?
Right.
And he looks at her and he's like, "Yep." So, okay, we've established this is the drummer from 21 Pilots. She's like, "Hey, my kid's a huge fan. I'm a huge fan. His first concert we saw sold out, Madison Square Gardens, blah, blah, blah." So this kid is nice enough to sign an autograph. So they go off to the side, as you kind of do when you're at LAX and you're with a celebrity. He's got a Sharpie. He signs it. He introduces himself, shakes my wife's hand. They have a very nice exchange. Like, the kid couldn't have been nicer. She didn't like blow his cover and be like, "21 by," she didn't like make a huge scene out. So she posts a tweet. She just takes a picture of this kid's autograph, right?
Right.
That's got like 9,000 likes, friggin' 2,000 retweets. I'm on Fox News. It's a huge network. I'm on there for 2 minutes. I thought I did well. My wife gets a rock and roll kid to sign the back of a coffee receipt, and she crushed me in the fame category. So,
Right. Or the guy from 21 Pilots did. It all depends on which way you look at it.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. They're
Yeah.
a wonderful band. And it's great when you meet people like that and they're cool. That's because it can always go the other way. But so yeah, so in the it, she's crushing me in the likes and the retweets. So if you're listening and you're on the Fox News channel, I need to go back on. I need to be a little bit more controversial. Maybe some light nudity. I'm prepared
Nudity
to go
on
there.
Fox? No. No, 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 no.
Wouldn't that be great?
No.
Yeah, so that was a great time. So the Loftus Party, we're getting the name out there, and this is like last week we were talking about this. Oh my gosh! And this is another great one. The YouTube channel, bunch of new subs on YouTube. Love it, love it, love it. The video this week on Facebook is just going great. Love it, love it, love it. So you guys are awesome. You're awesome. Our little community continues to grow and grow. So those are the big stories. Those are the
Big
big
personal
stories.
stories.
Yeah, the big personal stories. Now we'll get to more like new stuff. I watched a lot of MSNBC today
No
just to see
wonder
what's
you're
going on.
not like, yeah.
Well, I like to see what's going on. And did you watch any of it? Do you know what the big brouhaha is all day today on MSNBC?
The big brouhaha all day today. Normally, you can tell by what the entire media is freaking out over on any given day, but nobody was really freaking out.
Well, I guess they were having some kind of private conversation somewhere in the White House.
Oh, this thing.
Some girl, I don't know who she is or what department she works for. She goes, well, who cares? Blah, blah, blah. John McCain's dying, right? So it was very dark. I'm sure it wasn't funny. However, literally, they were treating it on MSNBC today like it was a hostage situation. Like, they're like, how many hours? They had panelists. They had a panel convened, and not just for 1 hour, not just for 2 hours. At the top of every hour, their lead story is, when will the White House apologize? Have you seen anything like this? This wasn't even a joke. This is horrifying. John McCain is a hero. John McCain is a hero. And like a countdown for – and then, oh, they're not going to apologize. What if they don't apologize? What is this? It was just – mind-numbingly stupid.
Okay.
I was trying to sleep and I couldn't because it was like just enraging.
Well, here's the thing. From what I read, and I could be wrong, this staff meeting was about leaks. Stop leaking.
That's
so
hilarious.
This other conversation takes place and somebody immediately goes and leaks her comment to the press. Right? Which, to me, nobody ever said she laughed. Nobody ever said she was mocking. Nobody ever said, so we've got this whole meme out in the press, which the left just loved, right? John McCain doesn't want Donald Trump at his funeral. Well, okay, yeah. That's John McCain's choice. God bless him. My prayers are with him and his family. Who cares? I don't care. But the left really, really cared. So they made a huge deal out of it. So the only thing I can fathom is that during this, this kind of looks bad. This is crappy. Da 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 da. And girl says, well, he's dying anyway. Let's just not worry about it.
Yes.
It's a fact. It's not. I just don't understand what the freak out over that was.
Meanwhile, halfway across the globe, you've got the grand opening of our new embassy in Jerusalem. Like, you have like the balance of power. You could argue the balance of power in the Middle East is shifting. Oh my God! You would think that would be the big story, but no. Some girl makes a wisecrack in the White House.
Well, the big
and we're
going to
count down the minutes till the apology.
Well, the big story about the dedication of the new embassy was something about Ivanka and Jared, and because they're observant Jews, when they flew, it wasn't the right time or something. I don't know.
Oh,
it's just
geez.
People.
And what department does Steve Mnuchin, whatever how you say, is he like the Treasury Secretary?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going, well, there they are landing, and there's it looks like Ivanka and Jared, just like dripping, Ivanka and Jared decided to make the trip. Like, they're just like on vacation. Meanwhile, the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, is like literally right, like, I think you could say, oh, a cabinet member's there too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is kind of a big deal, but it was it's fantastic. Oh my gosh! And then this was hilarious too. This is a joke I would need to do on the TV show. It's not really a joke, but it's like a great example. So they have a Google Earth image of Jerusalem,
uh-huh.
and they show here's the pinpoint where the embassy is, and then they go here's like the no man's land where no one really goes. It's contested, and as they're talking, I pause it, and you can just see like. Here's the part where, like, all the Jewish people, all the Israeli people live, because, like, you can see on Google Earth, okay, there's freeways, there's paved roads, there's, like, a soccer stadium and nice stuff. And if you look to the upper left of the screen, the lower right, is like Palestinian territory, and it's like dirt roads, shacks. It was just like, get it together. It's so, all these people who, you know, just, oh, Palestinians. Like, how about you clean up the territory you got before you try to roll things back to pre-1967 or whatever? How about you pick up a broom and clean up your area and maybe build? It's sad because I know people are suffering and I don't want to make fun of that. But it's like, it was just blatant. Like, Israel has their act together. There's greenery, there's loveliness. And then on the lower side of your screen, you'll see, oh, it was bad. It was bad.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at it, Israel is like, I look at Israel like the last stand. That is the only country in the Middle East that values freedom, that provides citizens from all over the world, and not just Jewish people, a certain equality and egalitarian. And I mean, that is the last bastion of Western culture moving in that direction in the world. And, you know, the amount of crap it takes from the UN, the amount of just garbage it takes from the political left in this country is just maddening. They're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yes, it's crazy. I forget which comic. I honestly can't remember who it was, but it's not Paul Reiser. But anyway, they're like, imagine a football field, and there's a matchbook in the middle of the football field, and everybody's arguing about the matchbook. That's like the Middle East, and the matchbook is Israel. Like, everybody, it's like, but here's the great thing. I guess whoever runs Saudi Arabia, the crown prince or whatever, right, he just gave the Palestinians some advice. He's like, I'd take whatever deal America gives you. He's like, you're on your own, guys. I love that Saudi Arabia is at least pretending to come around. I know they're making a lot of changes, but that's awesome news to have Saudi Arabia going to the Palestinian people. I'd take the deal.
But part of that is Iran. So if you're Saudi Arabia, you're going to hang out there by yourself? Or are you going to say, hey, Bibi, we got something in common. Those guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's actually been going on for over a year and a half that those two countries have been talking more.
Everything is going swimmingly. Everything is going swimmingly. They had some pundit on Fox News today talking about, oh, North Korea. Oh, North Korea. And I'm like, what is the harm? And this guy's like, well, we might have the talks with North Korea, but if they don't go well, then it's bad. And I'm like, how can it get worse? Like, they were already lobbing missiles around and stuff. They're making a big show about dismantling their nuke facilities.
Ceremonial dismantling. I saw that and I just started laughing. Caved in. There was an earthquake.
There was either an earthquake or a giant sonic rail gun went off on. But I guess Trump gave a thing. I'm all over the board here, but this goes to the North Korea. Like, Trump's at some rally, and he says Kim Jong-un did himself and his country a great service by releasing these three people. Yep. And on MSNBC, they're tearing him up one side and down the other like he wants to get in bed with Kim Jong-un. Like, what's the bad part of that statement? He did something we wanted him to do. You did yourself a favor there, guy. You did your people a favor. Keep going and watch how nice we can be. It's insane, like, how nice we can be.
You're walking into like normal ways that leading countries act. Like when you release hostages and you decommission your nuclear facilities and, I don't know, loosen up some purse strings and actually start letting your people eat. Yay!
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? And like, listen, and if you're Kim Jong-un, and I guess he watches a lot of American TV and listens to a lot of American stuff. And
he's like a crush on Dennis Rodman.
Well, hey, Dennis Rodman did a good job. Dennis Rodman softened him up.
Maybe
we should send Dennis Rodman over to the embassy in Jerusalem, have him start talking to the Palestinian people. Mike Pompeo was on the Sunday shows today.
I thought he was missing.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. The New York Times is like, he's missing in action. He's AWOL. This is a few days ago. Now, in the meantime, Mike Pompeo was on a plane to go get the release of these three American hostages out of North Korea. And the New York Times is like, Mike Pompeo, you can't find him. Guy's AWOL. It's like, geez, you are just loaded for bear. And they're saying Melania Trump doesn't sleep in the White. Like, I don't want to solve the problem of the media all at once, but it really, like, it's not that hard. It's not, all they have to do is, like, lighten up for, like, a month. Even less. I bet 3 weeks would do it. Just report the facts for, like, 3 weeks, and everybody will be so impressed, and the president will be so impressed. Then, but, like, I'm immune to it. They could say anything. And that's the other thing that just drives me crazy. They're like, oh, these Trump people, they just don't listen. They just don't listen. And it's like, you have been doing this every day. You have been telling me the sky is falling every day since before the guy took the oath of office.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work.
Well, it really actually doesn't. Because I bought myself a Mother's Day present several months ago.
Oh, that's cheating. But what'd you get?
Well, no, it just happened that the book release date was the week of Mother's Day.
Okay.
But I'm like, oh, Mother's Day present for me. Got Selena Zito's book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We said hello to her at CPAC 2 years ago, right?
Yeah. No, Selena was on Face the Nation this morning. What's really interesting is she and her co-author, a guy who on Twitter is Brad on Message, and I cannot remember his last name right now. Shame on me. They actually commissioned this huge poll of Trump voters in the Rust Belt.
Okay.
And once you start reading her book, they very carefully go over the whole media characterization of who a Trump voter was, because they were so angry that they didn't win, and they're still so angry. Like, I'm just amazed we're, 2 years out, and they still haven't wrapped their head around the fact they lost.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you had a terrible candidate, you had terrible ideas, and you lost. But part of the cautionary tale in this book is, if you keep painting people with your big old broad brush like that, when we can show you through this polling archetypes of about 7 different types of people who moved from Obama to Trump or chose to vote for Trump,
yeah,
you're going to lose even bigger next time.
I hope so. I really hope so, because that whole thing drives me crazy, that, like, somebody – and I'm sure, I mean, it's a lovely thing that they did this study and they can characterize who and new and this. But, like, some idiot is going to throw millions of dollars at another study. We've looked at the 7 basic kinds of Trump voters. And in category 3, we did exhaustive testing. We spent $100 million, and they like the color green a little bit better than they like the color teal. It took us 6 weeks, but we have T-shirts designed with a slogan that say, I'm still with her, but now they're in green. You know, it's like that kind of crap. It's like, that's when common sense has just taken a holiday. Like, nothing – I got my panties in a twist. I'm sure the book is great, but Trump was talking common sense. Like, it's not rocket science that they keep trying to figure this out and blame somebody. And what did we do? We should have gone here on the 12th of May, and the sun was in frickin' the eye of Venus. You had crappy ideas and a crappy candidate. But the book, you were telling me about the book. The book is good?
Oh, no, the book is really good. Very interesting.
Is this Selena's book?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's it called?
The Great Revolt.
The Great Revolt. Well, that's an awesome title. That's an awesome title, and I could talk with her. We should have her on the show, talk about that book till the cows come home.
Yeah.
Because that's –
well, I mean, she's been covered. She saw this coming in, you know, not too long after he came down the elevator or escalator.
Well, it is – wow. That's very, very early. I was driving from New York to Columbus, Ohio, shortly after the election. You have to drive all the way across Pennsylvania.
That's
And
a long drive.
it was shocking how many Trump, vote Trump, vote Trump, like those little things you put in your yard.
Right, the yard signs.
Just driving down the freeway, you're like, whoa. So if anybody, and I think Selena did this, and I think this is one of the very, very smart things. She seems like a very smart person. I think she was driving around, and that's what you hear from most of these reporters who are driving around. They're like, dang, if you just looked at the yard signs, you knew who was going to win this thing.
Well, and she drove all over the country reporting on voters in places that are not typically covered. And, the folks at CNN don't routinely get on a plane and go actually talk to people they don't interact with a lot. And she has been saying this and saying this and saying this and saying this since very early in the primary.
I think it's really driving some people crazy that they cannot convince the conservatives. And it's weird, and it is personal because you have the Bill Kristols of the world and like the George Wills. They cannot let it go. They can't let it go. And I really beyond the way he behaves, the way he says things. If you take that, and I know it's a big buy, so just hang on tight to your steering wheels for a second, everybody. But if you put all that to the side, just forget the language and the gruff behavior, and look at the actions and the results of those actions, you'd be thrilled like I'm thrilled.
Yeah, no,
It's
actually,
really going well. It's going really well.
one of the bigger Trump critics, if you will, during the primary and even during the election, David Limbaugh, Rush's brother. He actually wrote an article that said, if you can't wrap your brain around this is actually going okay, whether you like him or not, you just sound a little silly at this point.
You sound like the and listen, politics is not going to always be like this. This and I've said that before, but it's like you've got to try to let it go. I'll tell you who just made really big strides in my book, and this is I thought Jimmy Kimmel. I guess today, or maybe last night, said that he thinks that Americans are getting tired of the Trump bashing.
You think?
And
He
right,
must have
and
seen you on Fox.
well, it's wild, and it's listen. I didn't start this yesterday. You and I, we've been doing this for a while. I was doing the flip side 3 years ago. And I could feel it coming. I could feel it coming that like, and this was the big mantra from last week's show. Everybody keeps telling you it's going great. Everybody keeps telling you it's going great, but you just don't feel it. You just don't feel it because your eyes don't lie, your ears don't lie. You feel it in your gut. When I was on Anger Management, it was a show with Charlie Sheen about he was a psychologist, whatever. But I found out about this thing like emotional intelligence and the blink instinct when you just know something. And that was my everybody kept telling me Obama's doing great. Oh, this is awesome. That's great. This is
No,
cool.
it's
Oh, it's
not.
going so good. And it's not.
It's not.
Like factories kept closing and I'm all for circling the wagons for a little bit. I really am. This whole they're saying it again. They've brought back this mantra. I know we're all over the board, you guys, but I honestly today I don't care. But the whole immigration thing and the Dreamers and blah 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 and like it's none of this is rocket science. Like I'm at the point, and I think we discussed this months ago. Just let's build the wall. Let's get that border secure. We have a line. We're very generous. We are a very, very generous country when it comes to legal immigration. But like, okay, and the Dreamers can stay. Everybody can stay, but no one else is coming in. Boom, we're locking the door. We're shutting it down for a little while. You can come in legally only. If you come hopping over a wall, boom, instant. No court date, no nothing. That's ridiculous that you hop over the wall. That's so.
I just actually kind of lost. I like John Kelly, Trump's chief of staff.
Oh yeah,
very accomplished military hero, et cetera, et cetera. He said something to NPR, and when you read the entire comment, he's not wrong.
No.
He's not wrong. Most of the people who walk over the border don't have a lot of skills. And you know that because if they had means, they probably would have gotten a visa and flown in. We do have people who fly in and overstay their visa. But generally, those people have a little bit more means. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching them just rip John Kelly apart for this. And I'm like, what you people are supporting is human trafficking and slave labor.
Yeah.
And they're
trying to make this guy out to be some kind of racist.
No, he said they're good people. They're kind people. I sympathize with why they come here. But the law is the law.
He called us stupid. And it's like, hey, the Pew Research Center, they've got the research. Like the majority of immigrants who come from this country have this level of education. I'm very sorry.
And then the emotive, ridiculous tweets, and the one I cut off the top of my head, Karen Tumulty, raise your hand if your ancestors came here from rural areas with fourth, fifth, or sixth grade educations. She does this stupid gif.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's a paper mill in 1920 when my great grandpa got here. Here's a paper mill today. Okay.
That's great.
My great grandfather died in a paper mill because it was a manual process and you turned things and it was run with steam, right? Now it's a big computer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's things have changed since the Industrial Revolution.
I started looking things up because I'm like, even agriculture. So, okay, you know, still a lot of agriculture in this country, California, Central Valley, Southern California, Florida, et cetera. You know, the Midwest, but the Midwest is a lot of things that are – they're harvested with machines. They now have a machine that harvests cabbage, tomatoes. I mean, all of the things that those farm workers used to come – get paid, you know, on a migrant basis to do the harvest. They're all being mechanized.
What I saw, I'm having some kind of weird deja vu. I saw some giant machine that does cucumbers and it also does carrots.
Yep.
And it is viciously effective.
Yep.
Viciously effective. Those whole, the days of Grapes of Wrath. Those days are gone.
Well, I mean, they've been doing it with wheat and grain for years. You have these huge combines. It goes, clears the field, da-da-da-da-da, threshes the thing. Why did you think it wasn't going to happen with other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's a toughie, but we're very generous with our immigration policy. There's a line. I'm done with hearing politicians talk about our immigration systems. They've been saying that since flipping Ronald Reagan.
This,
like, we have laws on the books. I'm done.
This is how you know Washington, D.C. is completely broken. Trump said, I want four things. I want border security. I'll double the number of Dreamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want money for the border, and I want to kill the visa lottery and go to a points-based system for people coming in legally. Those items have somewhere between 58 and 64% approval in the general population.
Yeah.
They're still sitting on Capitol Hill talking about doing the Queen of the Hill process for four different immigration pieces of immigration legislation when the president has already told you what he will sign and what would be considered a landslide in an election, right? If a candidate got 62% of the vote, that's considered a landslide. A landslide of the American people want exactly what he said he will sign.
It is mind-boggling.
It's ridiculous.
Mind-boggling. And that's what I think, like, the air quote genius behind his campaign was. It's not like Americans are racist, but we – but we can see a problem. And we're like, wow, well, somebody should do something about this. And these tools on the left and these tools on the right go, well, we need a comprehensive, I'm going to sit down and really, how about this? Shut the door. There's a line right there. Everybody get in line. We'll take a million of you a year. A million. That's a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world, we're going to do a study and blah, blah. And meanwhile, you know, scramble, scramble, scramble. People keep showing up. And no, I don't believe that's going to solve all of our problems. However, we spend a boatload of money on these services.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I know I was telling you about this last week, but wow. The homeless situation in L.A., it's ridiculous. I saw a thing the other day. I don't know what city did this, but somebody put up a picture of it on Twitter. Some city spent God knows how much money and got this piece of art, and the piece of art is like a bronze bench with a bronze homeless man lying down across the bench. With like a cup, yes, and I think a few $100,000 were spent on this piece of art.
Why?
To highlight the problem and the plight of the homeless. And it's like, hey, moron! First of all, you can't even sit on the bench because there's a bronze homeless guy lying on. Spend that money on a program. Like instead of having, oh, I'm gonna be reminded by art. Here's an idea. Like help somebody get a shower and clean up and help them find a place to live and an address so maybe they can get a job.
My friends who live in LA County tell me all you have to do is drive around. Like, the problem is that obvious. You don't need a freaking statue.
Oh, I don't know where the statue was. I think it's probably somewhere in California, but yeah, LA has got it's. I've been here for a while, and it's as bad as I have ever seen it, And a lot of the people are, I don't know if it's drugs, mental illness, or a combination of both, but it's bad. It is bad. They're going to have to figure something out. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you guys this. This is great. This is perfect. We're making the 20-minute turn here. I'm going to be doing stand-up. I got to remember to take my microphone for the podcast next Sunday. I'm doing stand-up at my buddy Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Las Vegas next week. It's a Monday through Sunday. There's one show a night, 8 o'clock showtime. It's always an absolute blast, and I'm going to be hanging out after the show, and I'm going to talk to anybody and everybody who wants to talk about this show, the website, theloftusparty.com, and whatever. I'm going to hang out after the show. I'm going to meet some people. I'm going to plant some seeds of goodness. It's going to be a blast.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know if I'm going to gamble much. I got a lot of other stuff I need to do during the day. Oh my gosh! And I'll tell you this, I was telling you at the beginning of the show, like Friday, very little sleep. It was kind of a while. I sat down Saturday, and now I'll be able to do it next week. I sat down Saturday, and I go, I'm gonna blog, I'm gonna do it, and like I was trying to think about what I could talk about. So I sign in, I go to theloftusparty.com, I sign in, super easy, and like click, click, boom. I'm in. It was so – I didn't write anything because
– I knew that.
No. I had my other kid had to go to a party and I had to get – it got busy. However, I'm going to have time this week. But like you guys, if you want to – you've got to jump in on this thing. It is so stupidly easy to navigate. I can do it. I'm the guy that can't forward a hunk of music to our producer. I can't click forward on that. But oh, and that's, I should say that dude who sent me the music could send me the MP3. That's,
yeah, we definitely
Michael,
need the MP3.
Michael@theloftusparty.com. That's the cool email, you guys.
Oh,
so,
wait till you see what you get now.
I don't. Hey, I'm into it. I still got to go to the, what is the other social media? The MeWe.
Yeah, I know. You still don't have a picture.
I got to go there.
You're still
I got to do
taco.
That. There's so. I am such a taco. You know what?
I don't know what those are supposed to be, like the standard Abby on that platform, but they look like tacos.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. This what? Is great. We had Taco Tuesday, me and my kids.
Every Tuesday should be Taco Tuesday.
Right? Here's what I just discovered. The people who make the corn tortillas, the super crunchy ones, I hate tacos. I hate them. I hate your traditional crunchy taco. They now make a flour tortilla, a crunchy one. And ooh, that's a good taco right there. Give me the crunchy flour
tortilla.
Is it like
the taco bowl kind of concept?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but it's a taco. But yeah, like the whole a taco's a joke. A taco's a horrible joke. I'm like Seinfeld now. Well, what's the deal with a taco? You can never get an equal bite. There's like one good. There's two good bites at a taco. There's that first one and the last one. Everything else, it's either all lettuce or all meat. It's
see, we've actually gone to the taco bowl.
Mmm.
Yeah.
You're with the president on this one. You ever had
bowl? Yeah, except my taco bowls are way better than that, and they never have ground beef in them, because, yeah, no. But we make some very interesting taco bowls.
Well, what do you do? What are you using if you're not using ground beef? Using, like shredded beef?
No. We use chicken or carnitas.
Oh, okay. Shredded
chicken?
I do how you cook
really
it? How you
good
chicken?
Carnitas.
Mmm.
Mm-hmm.
How are you cooking your chicken?
I marinate it. And lime juice, olive oil, cilantro, garlic, cumin, and coriander for about
Didn't
a day.
For holy moly. But are you doing like a crock pot? You putting it on the grill? What are you doing?
Oh, no. We grill the chicken.
You grill the chicken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's delicious.
Yeah, we just got tired of it. Not only that, like when you hold the taco and then things fall out.
It's disgusting. It's horrible.
Because I like to use the corn tortillas, not the flour tortillas, and that's even worse.
Yes.
So.
Give me a soft taco any day of the week. Give me a burrito.
No, not the crunchy ones. The white corn, soft corn tacos.
You can get
street tacos then.
Yeah. Like street taco side. Those, there ain't nothing wrong with those. Nothing wrong with those.
I love me a street taco. But
so I'm jealous of you once again. I got two things to say. One thing to say before we get to the jealousy aspect, I love that meme that's going around right now. Chris Pratt makes $10 million more than this background artist on Jurassic Park.
What?
We were talking about last week. Somebody was like, oh my gosh, Chris Pratt made more for Jurassic Park than his co-star, Andy Griffith's or Opie or Ron Howard's daughter. And you're like, yeah, he made millions. He's a box office star.
Right.
That's Chris Pratt. He's an Avenger. He's Guardians of the Galaxy. He's
Star-Lord.
Yeah, he's a movie star. That other chick, Ron Howard's daughter. I've only seen her in one movie.
She's cute, but.
Yeah, but like I'm not gonna go to. I'm not. Listen, I'll go see a movie if Chris Pratt is in it. I'm not gonna go see a movie if little Ronnie Howard's daughter's in it.
Yeah.
So that's how Hollywood works. He's got box office appeal. He gets more. So somebody was making fun of that article, and there's a picture of Chris Pratt like running down the street in the movie, and in the background there's a chick, like in a crowd of people, and it's hilarious. But they're like, Chris Pratt made $10 million more than this, and it's an obvious joke, and it's just so hilarious to watch people get enraged over it. They're like, of course he made more money. She's like, no, you guys, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
You know, I can't be on social media as much as I used to be on social media because, you know, life. But I think my new goal is to just do something very early in the morning with the sole intention of outraging people.
Well, that's really what it is. It's funny. I was thinking about this in the shower today. Like, everything.
Oh, shower thoughts.
Yeah.
Did you?
Like, what?
Speaking of outrage, did you see this ridiculous Tom Steyer ad that he put out?
No, I don't even know who that is.
Oh, Tom Steyer's big California environmentalist. He was huge in funding Bernie Sanders. He's a gajillionaire that runs that impeach Trump website and thinks he's going to run for national office.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically like this mother, it's a Mother's Day ad, this mother, well, you know, when he was in junior high, he started stealing, but not from me, from those that are less fortunate. The last shot of the thing is a stupid picture of the Tiki Torch Brigade from Charlottesville, and, you know, the last line the mother says is, if your child is thinking about being Republican, talk to them. I wish I had. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, by the end, I am cracking up. I'm like, that's you hilarious. Think that's effective? Please do more like that. Do more like that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't vote for Trump, and that will make me do it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And that's why it's fun to watch Candace Owens take off. It's fun to watch Kanye West take off. It's fun to watch, like, people have reactions to commercials like that. Like, wow, you're really going bombastic. You're really going, like, what are you,
you
trying to, what are you selling?
Such a hard left there. I can't even follow you.
It's,
oh my God.
That's hilarious.
You know who I saw interviewed today?
Who?
Dave Rubin.
Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report?
Yes, I have always seen Dave Rubin interview other people, but I actually saw him interviewed today. What an interesting guy. Yeah, so he was actually talking about his history on the Young Turks and how he got kicked out of the progressive movement.
Here's the crazy thing. I'm just now learning that Dave Rubin is a liberal. I always thought he was a conservative, but go ahead. He was
well,
a young
Well, no, he calls himself a libertarian now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of, he talked a lot about, because he's gay, he's married to a dude, right? Whatever.
Gotcha. Good for him.
And so when he was in college, kind of getting indoctrinated or into the idea that his rights, like, he was a lesser person because he wasn't treated equally in society. And once gay marriage became kind of the rule of the land, and he started to look around and say, well, I'm as equal as anybody else. And he basically got pushed out because he wanted to have conversations like that. And those are conversations you are not allowed to have because they disrupt that whole intersexual or intersectional sexual. Wow. Don't know where that came from.
It actually kind of worked.
That whole intersectional identity pyramid bar graph that the left used to figure out who the biggest victim is.
That's all it is. It's the constant victim. You have to be a victim. Don't you realize that you need the government to come in and help you? It's your only hope.
Well, I mean, it's starting all over again with women. I mean, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, they're starting this meme, ladies. They're starting the meme, and it's all to support Kamala Harris in 2020. Mark my words.
And mark my words here. Something is terribly, terribly wrong with Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah. Something. I saw some pictures of her. She's on the road, and I'll say this. In all honesty, there's this perception that whatever. She's on a book tour, people. She's on a book tour.
She wrote another book?
And she's going to – no, this is like still What Happened. Still doing What Happened. But she's like – she's in Australia. She's all over the place. Mm-hmm. She wants to stay busy. I can dig it. And everywhere she goes, like she's in India, they're like, hey, do you think, you know, being a woman was the problem? And she'll go, you know, being a woman, da da da, and she'll espouse upon that. And then people lift that sound bite, and they'll go, oh, now she's blaming this. And then she'll go to another country, and they'll go, hey, do you think blah 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 is the problem? So, I really don't think she's whatever. She's kind of a whiner. I'm not a fan. I'm just going to cut her a little bit of slack. However, they show these pictures of her. She's always wearing a really long jacket, and something is protruding from her back, like some kind of back brace. Or spinal brace, and she can't stop wearing the big fluffy scarves.
Maybe she's got some huge goiter or something.
I something.
I'm sorry.
Something no, happened to that chick.
But what struck me this week.
She keeps falling down.
Oh, yeah. She's been having that problem. But what struck me this week is she and Michelle Obama and some of the other leading members of the third wave feminist cabal are using the exact same language, just like we've talked about with CNN and Russia, 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 right?
Yeah.
Women are suspicious of one another. So they're taking an entire gender and trying to make women feel guilty about not trusting other women. It doesn't work, ladies. It doesn't work. Because if I'm a woman on the right, I look at you as an individual. You may be a woman, but you have a history, you have behaviors, you have things you've done. There's so much more to you. And yes, I was terribly suspicious of Hillary Clinton starting in about 1998. And I was never going to vote for her because of who she is as an individual, aside from her gender.
Yeah, and I think everybody smells a political machine from a million miles away. Everybody recognizes this chick doesn't mean anything she says. She'll say anything and change nothing.
Well, and not just that, but I have every right to not vote for a socialist regardless of their immutable identity characteristics.
That's too funny.
I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what gender you are. If you're a socialist, I'm not voting for you. It's really that easy.
That's hilarious that you brought that up. Because I was looking up Dave Rubin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a little snafu with my computer, yada, yada. I had to reboot, blah, blah, blah. So I Googled Dave Rubin. Then, of course, being a little bit of a narcissist, I Googled myself. Mm-hmm. And it's very weird. There's a big separation. There's no passive bleed over between Michael Loftus, writer, comedian, producer, and Michael Loftus from the LoftusParty.com. However, really? There was some old article on there I saw. It's like, I'll tell you why. I guess I said this in an interview. I'm like, I'll tell you why I voted for Trump, because I don't want to live in a socialist America. It's like it had nothing to do with like, oh, she's a woman and I don't trust her. Listen, and that's I love it. I love it when I see the Democrats and the leaders of the Democratic Party just going down these horrible trails of thought. I don't want to help them. I'm like, keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going with the identity. You keep telling everybody.
Because I know without a doubt right now the Democrats are going to nominate another woman in 2020. I'm putting my money on Kamala Harris. And oh, by the way, that's the last time I'm saying her name from here on in. She's Willie Brown's mistress. That's
bada
it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. Barack Obama loved her, supported her career, et cetera, et cetera. That is where the entire Obama coalition is going to be behind. And I'm never going to vote for her because she's a socialist.
Yes.
I don't yes, care please. If we both wear a bra.
Yeah, bring Kamala on. People tell me I'm wrong, but I'm with you on this one. I think that's who it's – she's definitely going to be in the pack.
Oh, she's
gonna
running.
It's going to be a huge pack, but she's going to mm-hmm. be in there. Okay, here's why I'm jealous. Here's why I'm jealous of you yet again, and we got to flip the script on this one. You've already got your tickets to see Deadpool.
Yep, and Solo.
You've already got your tickets to see Solo?
Yeah, that's the next Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's tragic. It's tragic.
And I won't be able to talk about Deadpool 2 next Sunday because you won't have seen it yet.
Nope.
And I'll probably have seen Solo by the time you see Deadpool 2.
I'm going to try to see Deadpool Tuesday night. I'm going to see if I can do that.
Not then, this Tuesday.
No, I'll be doing a show.
Tuesday. Oh, that's right. You're in Vegas. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one movie when I was in Vegas years ago. This is how long I've been at the game, you guys. I saw Finding Nemo in Vegas. Me and what was her name? Something Murphy. Really funny female. Really funny girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and saw Finding Nemo. And we were both like blown away. And I'm like, no, trust me, Pixar makes really good movies. So anyway, I will have to catch up with you on Deadpool 2, Man, that dude is funny. Man, Ryan Reynolds is funny.
Oh, that couldn't have been more perfectly cast. He just owns that character.
And you know what? And this is where, and this will be the closing thought for today. For this will be like the closing theme of the show. Life is going to knock you down. It happens mm-hmm. to everybody. You might not see it. You might recognize it. We all get knocked down. You got to get back up. And you got to prepare for the future, but you got to get back up. And Ryan Reynolds, he was, I forget who he played. He was in an X-Men movie, Gambit. He played Gambit in an X-Men movie. He was supposed to get his own spinoff, and it never happened. Swing and a miss. Then he was Green Lantern. That was his big, big movie. And swing and a miss. So I guess he personally championed Deadpool, was very involved in the writing, super hands-on. Like, he loves that character. It's weird. I'm very happy for the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all the money in the world. He's got a great life. But I find myself, hey, good for you, Ryan Reynolds. You didn't give up. It's so weird.
Well, my favorite.
It's so weird.
That was one of my favorite tweets here in the recent past. He's like, here's the trailer for Deadpool 2. You never get a third chance to make a second impression.
He's like, an idiot. He's great.
I know. It's great.
It's fantastic. All right. So enjoy Deadpool. Have a great week, everybody. Yes, I will be blogging at theloftusparty.com, and you can too.
Yes. We want you to.
It's really the exciting notion of the whole thing. However, you guys who listen to this podcast, you were here on the ground floor, and I can't thank you enough. You were here because now it's happening. I know I say this a lot, but maybe I'm just saying it for myself, but like a couple little idiots starting a little thing, and all of a sudden now Fox News pays attention. That's a wonderful sign. That's a wonderful sign.
Yep.
So we is on our way. Go to theloftusparty.com. Everything's there. Podcasts, videos, great blogs. You should blog. What are you waiting for? Get up off your ass and do it. I'll see you next week. Bye.